Good morning, church. My name is Graham Beasley, and I have the privilege this morning of reading the Lord's Word, Psalm 4. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. O men, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? Selah. But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your hearts, on your beds, and be silent. Selah. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. You have put more joy in my heart than they have, when they grain and wine abound. In peace, I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. This is the word of God. Amen.
Thank you, Graham, for the Bible reading. Won't you bow your head and join me as we pray and ask God to help us as we open his word. Gracious God, we thank you for who you are. Thank you that you are God. Thank you that you created us. Thank you that you know us better than we know ourselves. Thank you that all our lives are in your hands. Thank you, Lord, that you sent your Son Jesus into this world to come and rescue us from the bondage of sin and to make us your children. Thank you, Lord, that your word reminds us that we are never alone into this world, that even when we go through the suffering, we can run to you in prayer. And this morning, Lord, we ask you that you will help us as we come to your word to hear what you have to speak to us this morning as we go through Psalm 4. And Lord, as your servant, I pray that the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable to you. O God, our strength and our redeemer. Amen. What we have in front of us is a song that expresses trust in God in the midst of great struggle. Like many other psalms, Psalm 4 combines lament to God as people are opposing King David, but also it brings in the confidence and trust in God as David is convinced that God will hear him and answer his prayers. And this is the beauty of the Psalms in general. They allow us to pour our hearts before God, because most of the time we can identify with the psalmist what he's saying, the struggle that he's going through. Scholars believe that Psalm 4 is a twin sister or a twin brother to Psalm 3. Psalm 4 is an evening prayer while Psalm 3 is a morning prayer. Where do we see that? If you look at Psalm 4 verse 8, we read, in peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Obviously, David prays this at the end of the day before he goes to bed. The future tense there is a mark, I will lay down, I will sleep. But if we turn to Psalm 3, verse 5, it reads as follows. I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. The past is an indication that he's saying this after he has woken up. And this is the connection between these two psalms. One is the morning prayer, Psalm 3, and the other one is the evening prayer, Psalm 4. And this is what the Jews believed before the time of Christ regarded these two psalms. They were all written by King David under the same circumstances. And the question is, what are those circumstances? What is the context in which these two psalms were written? Well, the background to Psalm 3 and Psalm 4 is the rebellion and treason of Absalom. As we read that in 2 Samuel from chapter 15 all the way to chapter 18. So this is one of the most dramatic and sad stories in the Bible. We all know that David was king over Israel. God chose him to be king to rule over God's people. Absalom was one of David's sons. He was very ambitious and he wanted to be king. And remember, this is a monarchy. In a monarchy, we cannot have two kings ruling at the same time. So in 2 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 6, we read that Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. He used deception. That is why he was able to gather men around him and to plot a coup against his dad, King David. And King David had to run for his life. He had to run from his son and for his life. In 2 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 30, we read that as he runs, he was weeping. He was barefoot. He covered his head. We are talking about a king of Israel running barefoot, weeping. This would be one of the most and hardest and darkest time in King David's rule. His son, his blood, wants to kill him. The only way Absalom can become king, the only way Absalom can get the throne, is by killing his father. So make no mistake, if Absalom was to find David, David was a dead man. Imagine how this must have been hard for David, whose son not only wants his throne, but also wants his life. How this must have been for David, whose people who pleaded loyalty to him and the people he served, he fought for, have turned their back against him. So it's under this huge trial, which is both physical, mental, spiritual, that David finds himself after he has escaped the throne to protect his life. And he is probably hiding in a cave. Under these circumstances, he's writing Psalm 3 and Psalm 4. So now that we understand the context in which he finds himself, let's read again verses 1 and 2 and try to put ourselves in David's shoes. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. O man, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? Selah. So Selah is just a musical notation, which was to indicate when maybe they have to raise the tempo or play more wider. It's more a musical notation. It's not a name. I'm not giving you an option to find a middle name. What is striking about David here? This God's anointed king of Israel, who is in a cave, is that instead of being in his palace where he was meant to be, situation is hard. He's running for his life. But in this very moment, he runs to God in prayer. And this is not our natural first instinct when we face trial of any kind in our lives. Of course, I know that I have to pray. Of course, I know that I have to bring everything to God in prayer. But my default response with trial is always, why God? Why God did you allow this to happen before I can even be on my knees to pray? I've heard of family where both parents were dead in a car accident and left a little child. The question is, why God? I remember as a 12 years old boy back home when war started in the country, and that meant no school, that meant no friends, no visitation, no family coming around. You can't play outside as you wish. You can hear guns here and there. Do you think it was easy for anyone to pray during those moments? Why God? Yet David is reminding us in Psalm 4 that we must run to God in prayer. One author said this, and I quote, that in the deep struggle of his trial, David looked at his problem in the light of God's power instead of looking at God in the shadow of his problems. I say it again. David looked at his problem in the light of God's power instead of looking at God in the shadow of his problem. In my most difficult time, in my most challenging trial, when I look at God in the shadow of my problem, when I look at God in the shadow of the circumstances that I'm going through, God becomes small and my problem becomes bigger. But if I look at God, I look at my problems in the light of God's power, acknowledging that He's sovereign, He's powerful, He made everything, then I can trust Him, even though it is hard, because He is God, He's powerful. So you see, God in His goodness has put Psalm 4 for us in the Bible so that when we find ourselves in a difficult trial, in a difficult challenge of life, just like David was, we can run to Him in prayer and not run away from Him. David, he runs to God in prayer. This Psalm 4 is his evening prayer. How does he do that? What does he tell God? 4 points that we'll be looking at. First of all, he speaks to God in his heart. David speaks to God in his heart. Second, he speaks to his enemies, people who wants to kill him. Third, he speaks to his people, the people who are with him in the cave. And finally, he speaks again to God with confidence. Let's look at our first point. He speaks to God in his heart. Verse 1. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. David is reminding us that prayer is not just an option. Prayer is not something you just say when you feel like it. David is telling us that prayer is a necessity. In fact, it is our greatest resources that God has given us. He is going through a difficult time. His situation is beyond control. He is overwhelmed by everything that is happening around him. He doesn't know that tomorrow belongs to him. He takes this situation to God in prayer. David is saying, I know you have answered me in the past, God. Even now, I know you will answer. And of course, God always answers the prayer of his people. God answers the prayer of his children. It may not be what we expect from him, but he does answer. And always remember, he knows better than you know. He sees the bigger picture of life. We can trust him. So in his prayer, David appeals to God's kindness, knowing that it is not right to him to make all this demand. He's saying, "Answer me, O God. You have given me relief in the past. I know you will do it again. Be gracious to me. Hear my prayer." Even though he laments, he knows God is righteous. That even when God allows wrong things to happen to him, God will still do what is right. God will still do the right thing. I can trust him. This is what David is saying. And when he says that, it's not just that Christian thing that we always say in a Christian circle. When they ask you, how are you doing? Or when you are going through some trial, you just say, well, God is in control. Meanwhile, you know in your heart, you are doubting. You don't know if really God is in control. The confidence David is giving us here is that of, I know I belong to God. I know I'm God's child. My life is in his hand. He made me. He created me. I belong to him. The trial I'm going through right now is hard, but God will hear me and he will do what is right for me. This is what David is saying here in verse 1. Then our point 2, he addresses his enemies, he speaks to his enemies. Let's read verse 2 and verse 3. O men, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? Selah. But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. So Absalom and his followers, they took power by deceit and lies. And one could not say that they submit to Absalom as king and submit to God at the same time. It was a contradiction. Absalom was illegitimate. He was not the right king. God gave the throne to David. And again, this shows David's confidence in the Lord that even if at the moment the enemies seem to win, even if at the moment the enemies seem to take control of everything, at the end, God is the one who will win. This is what is going into David's life. In verse 3, he reminds himself his identity in the Lord. God has set him apart. He belongs to God. God will hear him. I wonder if when crisis comes our way, the truth that resonates in our heart is that in Christ, God has set us apart, that we belong to him, and that he will hear us. Is that true to you? Is that true to me? Then our third point, he speaks to the comrades, to the people who are hiding with him in the cave. Verses 4 and 5. Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own heart on your bed and be silent, Selah. Offer right sacrifice and put your trust in the Lord. So David understands that his friends, his companion, people who support him, people who are with him, are stressed about the situation that is happening. Some of them could be angry. Why are we in the position where we are right now? What did we do to deserve this? So he tries to encourage them. But also in doing so, he is encouraging himself. So David examines his heart. So one Christian writer said this, that when one is going through difficult trial and suffering, it consumes us so much that we do not pay attention to what is going on in our hearts. And I think that is true. We can relate to that. When things are hard, when things are painful around us, that situation consumes us very much that we don't even take care of our hearts. We don't know what is happening in our hearts. David is right to be angry, and so is his companion. What did they do to find themselves in a hiding place? Few days before, they were living in the palace. Wicked men and evil have prevailed. They've taken control. This is an anger that can lead to revenge, if we are honest to ourselves. But David is telling us that instead, we must ponder and be silent, which is another way of inviting us to reflect on how God has been trustworthy and allow him to deal with our hearts. Invite God, ask him to take control of our hearts and the situation. If we give our anger to the Lord, he will eventually take care of it and it will disappear. But if we don't, the anger will take over us. So in verse 5, he turns his heart to worship. Instead of anger and revenge, we must remain steadfast in our worship and trust. Trust God. So this is the man who's speaking from the situation that we've described, who's hiding for his life. Again, it is hard to worship God in moment of trial. We all know that. It doesn't come naturally. But the irony is this. The irony is that worship is honest and true in times of trial because then we worship God for who he is. When I'm going through trial, I turn to God and see him for who he is, as God, as Almighty. Fourth point, David speaks to God with all confidence, verses 6 all the way to 8. There are many who say, who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. In peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety, says David. So you see, in verse 6, as David speaks to God, he's also still ministering to the people around him in verse 6. We saw that in verse 5, he had already brought the idea of worshiping God. Trial can bring confusion. We don't think straight. Things are cloudy around us. In verse 6b, he's telling God, please be kind and shine your face upon us that we may see you for who you are. And the background of this verse 6b, what David is saying for God to shine his face upon us, is the blessing that God gave to Aaron to bless the people of Israel from Numbers 6, 24 to 27. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is what David is asking from the Lord. During trial, the one face to seek is Yahweh's face, God's personal presence, because trial is hard and it blinds us. We can see everything else except God's face. when we find ourselves in the midst of the most difficult challenge. We know that God has promised to never leave us nor forsake us. But in the midst of trial, that truth seems to be not true. That truth seems to dissipate. We hardly believe that God has said He will never leave us nor forsake us. David is reminding us that peace is only found in Yahweh. David is confident that the Lord is with him in that cave. That is why in verse 7 and verse 8, he can say he lays down and goes to sleep, and he has joy in his heart. His enemies may be against him, but Yahweh is on his side. He is confident about that. And because Yahweh is on his side, that makes him dwell in safety. David can testify that peace and safety and joy are found in Yahweh and him alone, not in the bodyguards, not in the palace that he used to have. It is in Yahweh. Maybe you are sitting here and you are telling yourself, listen, Raphael, I'm not like David. David had a great faith in the Lord. I'm just a normal person who's going through trial. I don't know if I can be like David and turn to God. Well, let me just remind you that David, his life is a testimony of God's grace. He is like us. He was a human being like us. If you remember in his life, he committed adultery. He was a sinful man with Bathsheba. Remember, he murdered Uriah. Remember, he almost broke all the Ten Commandments just with that one sin he committed. The situation in his family was very chaotic. One of his sons raped his daughter. Another son killed another son. That was David's life. We can see that in our world today. But God's grace found him. Just as God's grace has found each one of us if we've come to trust in Jesus. So in Psalm 4 that is in front of us here this morning, we see the grace of God that meets us in grace in the moment of trouble. I'll repeat it again. We see the God of grace who meets us in grace, in His grace, in the moment of our trouble and difficulty. Speaking of Psalm 4, one preacher said this, and I paraphrase. Psalm 4 points to another king. This king left his throne. He faced the unthinkable. Not only faced the scepter of death, but he died. And he ended up in a cave, which was his tomb. But he conquered that tomb. He defeated sin and death. And that king is Jesus. And that's what we remembered last week, Easter, that this king, he came into this world. He gave up his life. He was willing. He died on the cross. He went into a cave for 3 days and God raised him from the dead. He faced death for us. He conquered death for us so that we may have eternal life and have the grace that we need in our moment of suffering, in our moment of trial, in our moment of our difficulty. This is what this king did for us. And the question for you and for me is, have you placed your trust in this king for what he did for you? Or maybe you have, but because of the trials, you still doubt at him at times. Do you know that he faced death so that you can have grace to face the trial that you are going through. He was able to face the cave for you and for me, so that in him we have life and life eternal. And as we continue to think about this King, Jesus, who came to us, in the light of Psalm 4, I pray that Psalm 4 will be true to each one of us here this morning, that we'll be reminded of this great truth, that he is always there with us in our most vulnerable time, that we can turn to him in prayer. We can bring all our requests, all our suffering, all our hurt to him. He is there. He is willing to hear us. He is willing to be with us, to hold us by his hand and to walk this journey with us. I pray that the trial that we are going through will not blind us to him, but it will direct us to him, that we will not run away from him, but we will run to him, because he is our hope. There's no other hope in difficulty, in trouble, apart from this King who came to die for us and to face the cave for us. Let us pray. Let's just spend a few seconds in silence as we continue to reflect on the words of Psalm 4 and what it means to us this morning. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. O men, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? There are many who say, who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. In peace I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. And we thank you, Lord, because you indeed make us dwell in safety. We thank you that in Jesus we can confidently pray the Psalm 4, that he faced the cave on our behalf, that we can cry to you, we can ask you, Lord, to answer our prayers, not because of our righteousness, but because of his righteousness, because we belong to you. And I pray that this morning, Lord, the word of this psalm would be true to us here. Many of us might be going through the most difficult challenges in their lives, most difficult trials in their lives. I pray that God will give us the grace to turn to you in prayer and not to run away from you, with the confidence that you said in your word that you will never leave us nor forsake us, that you walk with us this journey through your Holy Spirit, who continually points us to you. And Lord, as we part our ways this morning, we pray that you will make your face shine upon each one of us, that you will give us peace, a peace that surpasses all understanding, that we will walk this journey with you. And we pray all this in your precious name. Amen.